Hey, thanks so much for joining with us. This is our Life Church podcast. We're thrilled to have this time together. And today I'm going to be talking about how to beat Blue Monday. You know, we just have Black Friday, that crazy Christmas season where everybody buys so much on one day, that day after Thanksgiving. And so I'm going to share this message. I think it's so important for people to catch this. And I just pray it really makes a practical difference in your Christmas this season.
You know, this week has been just an interesting week as we prepare for Christmas. And I was out shopping, as you do. And one of the places I was shopping, and I started to notice some signs that said, this is probably Wednesday this week, Black Friday is coming. Did anybody see Black Friday signs this week? Did anybody wonder what the Black Friday signs were all about? Maybe I just woke up yesterday, but Black Friday is obviously an import from the USA, and it's coming over here, and as I saw the Black Friday signs, I noticed and remembered that this is a recent addition to our British culture, and I started to think about it, did a bit of research, and started thinking more about it, because of course, stateside in North America, Black Friday follows Thanksgiving. But most people here don't even understand what Thanksgiving is. And so we celebrate our own Thanksgiving party. We do our own turkey, our own celebration of stuffing and everything else. Stuffing is what we do when we eat the turkey dinner. And we start eating probably more food than we should. And that's the that whole holiday, that day, is designed to give thanks to God that originated in, I think it was 1613, from the pilgrims that left England, moved to America by ship, and were literally starving to death, and they were praying to God for help, and a local Indian came and taught them how to plant crops and basically let them to survive over that winter period. And so then the next harvest, they gave thanks for what God did, and a holiday was born called Thanksgiving. So this import into the British culture, Black Friday, is because Christmas shouldn't start until after Thanksgiving is finished. But I felt cheated, probably because many people here in Britain, you haven't had Thanksgiving. You just get the Black Friday. You just get the spend commercial import side of things without the Thanksgiving that should follow into that flow. And what is happening in our culture is there's this materialistic drive to spend for a commercial Christmas. So the retailers and the marketing teams are smart. They're realizing, let's make Black Friday happen. Black Friday is because that's the day record sales are going to happen. It used to be in the UK that Boxing Day and the day after was the record day. Do you remember queuing out for hours before a store to try to get that sale? But now Black Friday has come in to take that. And now Cyber Monday, you're about to see that advertised. Cyber Monday is Monday. That's the day for the when the people can't be bothered to fight for the Christmas sales like me. And you just go online and go Amazon.co.uk, order. And Cyber Monday happens and everything gets delivered to you. That's Cyber Monday. Now, this is what I wanted to bring to the church today, because did you know that over 93% of people are about to overspend and go beyond their means at Christmas? Did you know that 11% of the British population are still trying to pay off Christmas last year, and they're about to enter into Christmas this year? So I think as Christians, we realize that we're part of a culture that if we don't identify the culture that we're in, the danger is we're going to be swept up by it. And especially I want to speak into families today and into moms and dads who have got children and could be under pressure to go beyond their means. And I think the Bible has a lot to say about how to handle financial spending. And I just want to say this as I start today. I'm not saying this today because I'm taking up an offering at the end of this meeting. I'm not saying this because we're taking up some kind of special offering. We do one special offering a year. That's our Vision Sunday, and that's not until May. So that's like 7 months away, right? So just stay at peace if you think this is leading to something. Because it's not. It's not leading to anything that we're taking up financially here. My heart today is to help educate people to stay out of debt before they commit to things, before they sign up for things that they don't understand. And I wanted to bring this today because my pastoral heart for you, for your family, is that you understand what's really important. And what's really important is not the toy that you give at Christmas. Although, you know, it's great to recognize people and be thoughtful, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is the love that we have for our families and for our children. That we don't just give people trinkets, we give them time. That we don't just give them little bits of merchandise, we give people ourselves and our heart. And that is the heart behind what Jesus wants for everybody. It says in Romans chapter 13, let no debt remain outstanding, but the debt of love. Isn't that a beautiful thought to take into our Christmas period? And I know we're going to be bombarded. We're about to be bombarded by the latest John Lewis advert or the latest things that are going to come on our television sets. And so I want to take a step back before we engage in this process. So I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 6. If you want to turn to John chapter 6 today, and this is my starting point. John chapter 6, as I talk about Black Friday. Okay, now this is Jesus, and this is speaking and leaning into Jesus' life. And when I'm talking about Black Friday, the first thing I want to address is this in John chapter 6, is that Jesus borrowed. I'll make it very clear today. Borrowing is not bad. Borrowing is not evil, and it's not wicked. Jesus borrowed. Jesus borrowed boats when he wanted to preach the gospel. He borrowed homes when he wanted to stay in people's homes. He borrowed beds so that he could have a place to sleep and with his disciples. And in this John chapter 6, he's about to borrow bread. Let's read the story. Verse 2, a great crowd was following Jesus because they had seen the signs, the miracles, which he continually performed upon those who were sick. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, by the way, this morning. Love the Amplified Bible. Verse 3, Jesus walked up to the mountainside, and he sat down there with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was approaching. Jesus looked up then, seeing that there was a vast multitude that was coming towards him. He asked Philip, one of his disciples, where are we to buy bread so that all these people may eat? And let me just stop there. Jesus asked the question because of the crowds and because of the multitude. But verse 6 says this. Jesus said this to prove, to test Philip, because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. You know, that's one thing you have, when you have the perspective of God, God already knows how he's about to bless you. Jesus already knows what he's about to do. But our problem in our humanity, we're like Philip. We don't know what God's about to do. We're living on the other side of the veil. We're living on the other side of the promise. We're living on the other side. So our part can be confusing. It can be full of misunderstanding. It can be full of questions. It can be full of doubt. And I love what Jesus, already knowing what he was about to do, he said this to test Philip. You see, sometimes God allows circumstances to go on in our life, and God's doing that in a way that not to hurt us, not to abuse us, not to be mean to us, but God is preparing you for something. He's preparing you for a breakthrough. We talked about breakthrough already in 2015. God is not showing you things financially to frustrate you. And we're dealing with a lot of frustration in our pastoring, a lot of questions, not just from people in the church, but those on the fringes of church life, trying to figure out how to make sense of the economy, trying to figure it out. And so this is what I wanted to bring about, this first principle that I wanted to teach today. Number one, only borrow what you have the means to pay back. Only borrow what you have the means to pay back. Jesus, knowing what he was about to do, he sent his disciples out. He already knew what he was about to do, but he sent them out to find something that was already in the crowd that he could borrow. And he counted what he was about to borrow. And he counted 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let me tell you a story about borrowing. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says, the borrower is servant to the lender. In other words, what you borrow, you didn't have to serve to pay back. And in that moment, Jesus borrowed from a little boy, and he now then was about to serve that child. That is so powerful when you think about that verse. And many of us, we are borrowing. Maybe it's a mortgage, or maybe it's a car, or maybe it's a credit card. When you decide to borrow, you then decide to serve whoever you borrowed from. And what that means is you may not feel like paying back the people that you borrowed from, but your feelings are irrelevant. What you feel like doesn't matter. You may not feel like paying back what you borrowed, but the fact is you decided to borrow and now you're accountable. There's a phrase called the buyer beware. I want to say borrowers beware. Right. Not just buyers, but borrowers, because our borrowing culture is so difficult to live in. The average family in Great Britain today spends over 120% of their income. Now, what that means, forget about Christmas, but month to month, we're borrowing because we don't have the finances to keep up with where we're going. And so I'm speaking into this today. This may not be a message that's going to get us out of our seats this morning, but you'll be a lot more healthier and you'll respect this word in about a month's time when you understand that your bills are going to be coming. See, Black Friday leads to something called Blue Monday. Blue Monday is a phrase that psychologists have coined and the Mental Health Institute have coined. The third Monday of January will be called Blue Monday. And the Mental Health Institute was quoted as saying that it's far enough away from the Christmas glow, and yet it's just before your next paycheck. And on that day, they have discovered that it's the leading day for marriage breakup, for divorces to be filed. It's the leading day for suicides in the UK. It's the leading day for all kinds of other mental unwellness because of the pressures financially that are created on people, because they don't understand. People don't understand. When you borrow, you have to serve the lender. So it's better not to borrow if you can't enter into that agreement. Once you borrow, you're committed. Once you borrow and you sign the bottom line, you are then committed for that promise. And so we're speaking to a situation. I don't want anybody to feel condemned about this, because we live in a great nation. We live in a great nation with debt counseling like Christians Against Poverty, which is a great thing. We have all kinds of Money Watch, things that you can sign up for, that you can understand more about finances. But I love that the Bible also teaches about this. That here's Jesus going, okay, do you understand, Philip? You borrow and watch what happens next. Jesus was trying to teach Philip a lesson that the needs of the crowd could not be met without the power of God. Your needs will not be met without God's power. That's why God introduced the concept called tithing. Tithing is a way that God wants to work with you to get a hold of your finances. It's all through the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 says, test me in this and see if I won't open, God said, see if I won't open the windows of heaven to pour out enough blessing that you will not be able to contain it. And here's Jesus again talking about the test. Philip needed to understand that Jesus wanted him to understand that in order to multiply finances for the lost, he was going to have to learn how to borrow strategically. You see, you can borrow strategically that will give you an advance and a leg up in your economic standing. You can borrow from a mortgage company, and you can borrow at low interest rates, and you can take that financial loan and make it work for your favor. That's the way you can borrow strategically. But you can also borrow in a way that will set you back and your family back into a situation that's very, very difficult to get out of. Let me tell you a story about borrowing. When I was a university student, I had to pay for my course with borrowing. Are there any university students who are in that camp? You got to pay with borrowing. And it's a difficult thing because you're borrowing from your future to pay for your present. And I got to the point when I was about to have to sign on the bottom line to borrow 10,000 pounds to finish 1 year. I had just become a Christian and I was reading, and I remember reading this verse, a borrower is servant to the lender, thinking about this verse and thinking, okay, this is serious. If I sign this up, I'm going to have to finish my degree and I'm going to owe 10,000 pounds. And that was only in my third year. I'd already done 3 years. So I was going to have to borrow another 10,000 pounds after that course. So I was going to leave my education with at least a 20,000 pound debt. I'd already borrowed 7,000 pounds. So I was going to leave with almost 30,000 pounds of debt before I went for my job. I did think about getting a job at McDonald's at that point and thought maybe I should just start working now. And the awareness on me that if I borrow this money, I am going to have to pay it back, led me to this prayer of awareness. God, is this the best choice? Should I really be doing this, Lord? Should I really enter into this decision? And immediately I had a conviction that God was my provider. And so I remember going back to my university professors and saying this. I said, before I go into debt, is there any scholarship that I could get? Now, I want you to know that that was not like me. I didn't have that boldness and that confidence back then. But my prayer and that understanding of this scripture gave me the boldness to say to my professors, is there any way I could get a scholarship? Is there anything that I don't understand about the economic structure of this university so that I can get a scholarship? And my dean said to me, there's no way you can get a scholarship. But to my amazement, my music professor said to me, no problem. Leave it to me and we'll see what I can do. Now, I just asked the question and my teacher, Richard Holmes, went busy behind the scenes. 2 months went by and I didn't hear anything. And in that period, I was trusting God. Well, the end of that process, just long story short, I ended up getting a full scholarship for the next 2 years and my whole debt forgiven. That's like 20,000 pounds that I was given to finish my education. Now, that would have never happened if I didn't understand this verse, that the borrower is servant to the lender. And I realized I did not have the means to pay that back. It was a difficult moment of awareness for me to understand that, but it was like waking up and realizing, oh my gosh, my future is before me. And what I'm appealing for is, can you wake up to the reality of your borrowing? You're about to borrow. If you're going to borrow, do it with your eyes wide open. Do it understanding. And this is my second principle. And this is in John chapter 6, verse 9, when Jesus again articulated and he counted 5 loaves and 2 fish. I want to say this. Be very clear about what you're borrowing. Be very clear about what you're borrowing. Don't just borrow, no, be very clear about it. Don't just borrow the finance, to be very clear, be very clear. Read the small print. So I've been reading the small print. Do you know if you buy an iPhone 6 and you sign up and you pay whatever the monthly fee is, that you're going to be paying over 40% APR for that phone? They don't tell you that, but the word APR is something that we should all understand and our vocabulary. And I want to explain it to you. APR stands for the annual percentage rate. Now, what that means is that doesn't go to the manufacturer for creating the product that you're about to buy. The annual percentage rate are people that are making money because you don't have the cash up front. So they're making over 40%. So for every pound you pay, 40% increase, 40 pence on the pound. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot when you're dealing with a pound. But for 100 pounds, now you're paying an extra 40 pounds back for that 1,000 pounds turns into 400 pounds. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And sometimes we just don't have the means because of our credit rating to get it any other way. So we have to sign up. And there may be times when you have to do that. But I'm saying this, do it with the understanding of what that annual percentage rate is. I was reading a testimony of a person that borrowed from someone, a payday lender, and they didn't read the small print, and they didn't realize that the annual percentage rate they were borrowing from was not 40%. It was 2,000%. 2,000%. They borrowed about 250 pounds, but they've ended up paying back, and of course, penalties accumulated because he couldn't borrow to pay it back. So for 250 pounds that he initially borrowed, he had to pay back over 7,000 pounds. And this is right through our society. Fortunately, this man had enough awareness to realize that about 2 years into the process, at the brink of committing suicide, he phoned for help. And he phoned one of the money watchdog agencies in the British UK system. And they went to that payday lender, arrested the payday lender for charging 2,000% rate, put that payday lender in jail for that crime, because that is a crime, And then that man understood that he had just fallen into a trap. So I'm saying, be careful and be aware of what you borrow. Read the small print. And I know what this is like. You'll be in a meeting or you'll be in a conversation with either a bank manager or somebody trying to sell you something, and you will feel and be made to feel uncomfortable for asking the question, what is the annual percentage rate? Can I just say it uncomfortably then? Be it uncomfortably. Have the courage to say, I want to know what the APR rate is on this thing that I'm about to buy. Count your APR rate before you buy it. And then can I say this? If this Christmas you don't have food or you don't have shelter, come talk to us about Life Church, because we have set aside finance this Christmas so that everybody here in our church can have food this Christmas. And I think that's awesome. We have set aside finance, like we already mentioned. We've set aside a budget so that everybody can have gas and electrics and be able to heat their homes. We don't want anybody in our church to have to choose between feeding your children or heating your home. We can do both in this church. And we work very hard behind the scenes to be able to do that. Why do we do that? We do that because we believe that the local church is the hope that families need. So whatever the need is, and the whole love your neighbor part is exporting that into our neighborhoods. So we teach that. But having taught all of that and having met people's needs, unless you understand then what APR is, you'll go back into the cycle and back into the poverty of debt. And I want to see debt transformation. I want to see people understand. Now we believe in prayer, and we're going to pray for people's finances at the end of the service. We're not taking up an offering, but we're going to pray. But when we pray, that doesn't mean you don't read your bills. That doesn't mean that after you pray, if you see it, and I get it, you know, you get a red reminder, it's like, oh my gosh, another red reminder. Put it in the drawer. Let's hope it goes away. No, it's not going to go away. They're going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming after you until they finally get, because you already signed up for this agreement. If you didn't sign up for the agreement, there are courts of law to protect you as a borrower that work for you. So actually, we're in a good position in the UK, right? Now, I wanted to bring this like this because this isn't just for people who are in the lower income part of the Great Britain and the earning standard. This is not this. This is not that. Because I know people that, and I've read about people who are in the upper level income stream who would spend £20,000 or more over Christmas for their children. Buy them cars, buy them houses, and they're doing that not because they really feel like they want to do that. They're doing it because they have to do that, because it's the only way their children spend time with them. So they're having to give them massive gifts because they're trying to buy their children's love. And I want to say this because there's a better way to do this. And that's why Jesus is so clear about this. And I wanted to bring this into a perspective, because for you, you might be giving £200 or £50 for Christmas gifts. But money does not buy love. Money does not buy love. Money is not that. And often we think, well, we don't have enough money, so, you know, we always feel bad that we don't have enough, we don't have enough, we don't have enough. No, actually, if you have your health, and if you have Jesus, I want to say you have enough. You have enough to make your Christmas the best Christmas that it's ever been this year, just simply by loving the people that you're with, and by deciding in your heart what you can spend, and then not feeling guilty, not feeling manipulated, just setting a budget and sticking to your budget. And that's how we'll avoid a Blue Monday experience. And we'll have just a great Christmas with family and all the rest of it. It'll be just a great experience. I know people that are borrowing £50 because they want to have turkeys at Christmas. And they'll go into debt just to get £50 cash. And I want to speak into that and say, we do not have to live our lives like that. Now, it's difficult to say that and preach it, but I'm telling you, this is how we help people get free. Okay? Principle number three I want to bring this morning is this. After Jesus counted the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, then he said this, verse 10, recline and sit down. He said that to the crowd. I love this. Relax, recline, and give thanks, the Amplified Bible says. This is so powerful. Here are people that are hungry, and they don't have enough, and Jesus says, first of all, can we just relax? Can we just sit down? And take the pressure off. Take the mental gymnastics going on in our mind off and just sit down and just relax. Relaxing and reclining is preparation for your miracle. While you're in stress and in worry, you actually work counter to what God wants to do in your life. And so Jesus is saying, can we just relax a minute? Can we talk about this taboo subject called Black Friday and Blue Monday? Let's just relax. Because when we relax about it, what happens is we learn. And when we learn, we gain knowledge. And when we gain knowledge, we have more knowledge than the salesperson who's trying to, you know, they might just trying to make a sale and sign us up. But we refuse to get hooked into this debt cycle, right? So by making this simple decision about how to relax and step back, we remove ourselves from the pressure and the busyness of all that crazy pressure that comes on us to go out and buy. Jesus is like, no, sit down. We're going to relax about this, and we're going to take this bread, and we're going to do something miraculous with it. And as they sit down and as they relax, we see the miracle happen. He takes the bread and he blesses the bread. Everybody's just watching Jesus now. Suddenly the crowd that was running around and all the rest of it, he has them sit down. In the Amplified Bible, it says they threw themselves on a big patch of grass. In other words, they were relaxed. They were chilling. They were probably on a sunny day. They were watching Jesus, and Jesus blesses the bread and then he breaks it. You know, the miracle sometimes is in your breaking. Your miracle is, you know, I don't have enough, Lord. I don't have enough. I don't know where it's going to come from. But when you're honest with God like that, God gets involved in your world. When you're honest, you're like, this is all I've got. And Jesus took it and he broke it. And then you know the rest of the story. Suddenly, multiplication happened. Multiplication happened in the midst of it being relaxed, in the midst of it being calm and not chaotic. God multiplied. He just multiplied the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. And suddenly, everybody had a feast. Everybody ate to their heart's content. Everybody was full. And then the next principle is this. I love this next principle. Principle number 4 I'm bringing today. This is what happens. Jesus said, gather up the fragments, the broken pieces that are left over, so that nothing may be lost and wasted. And the gathering up after everybody had their fill was 12 baskets of bread and fish. That was enough provision. And I love the thought of this. The Bible, as I think about this, what did Jesus do? I like to think of it like this. I like to think Jesus took the 12 baskets and gave it back to the little boy that he borrowed from and said, here you go, son. Take that back to your family. And you imagine a little boy walking back with 12 basketfuls of bread and fish. And his parents would be like, what? What are you bringing back? Because barley loaves, they were the cheapest form of bread in their day. Cheapest form, the worst combination in that culture was the barley. The barley was the common wheat that would grow. And for a little boy to be sent out with his lunch, that's all he had, and to sacrifice that into the hands of Jesus really set the stage for Jesus to do the most incredible miracle. And I think that little boy will have been grown up for the rest of his life thinking, if I put what I have, not what I don't have, but I put what I have in the hands of Jesus, then Jesus can multiply what I have, and he can give me more than enough. He can provide everything I need. And that's my prayer for you today. Whatever you have, you put in the hands of Jesus, and you let Jesus multiply it. You let him multiply what you do have. The gift that you do, that you are going to bring to somebody, you let him multiply that. Now this is a challenge when you think, well, I don't have very much. And when you start to enter into Christmas, I remember the defining moment for me when I understood that my mom had mental illness. We were at Christmas, and we were starting to open Christmas presents and Christmas gifts. And there, my mom was like, Steve, I'm so excited about Christmas, and I hadn't seen her very much, and I'm just spending Christmas with her. And I started opening presents that she gave me. The first present was a hat. The next present was a hat. The third present was a hat. And I'm like, Mom, why did you buy me 3 hats? She's like, well, I thought you needed a hat. And then I opened another present, and it was a glove. And then the next present was the other glove. And I'm opening these presents thinking, okay, I remember my childhood when my mom gave me thoughtful presents. And now I'm seeing presents that she gave me that were random, disconnected, disassociated. And I'm looking at the presents, and I'm looking at my mom thinking, something's not right with your mental state of mind. Something's not processing with you, Mom, that you think that I need three hats. And I remember that Christmas, I remember my family got into a big fight, and everybody had their Christmas dinner in separate rooms. I was in one room where there was a TV set. My mom was in her bedroom going back to bed. My father was in a different room, and my two sisters, I don't even remember where they were, but I just remember eating Christmas dinner on my own in front of a television set. Why? Because my mom had bought into the mental pressure. I've got to buy, with no thought to what she was buying. She was just manipulated by the Black Friday process. She was just manipulated by that, I've got to somehow buy gifts. I'm like, I didn't care about the hats. I cared about my mom. I didn't care about what she was giving me. And I remember purposing in my heart to understand how I could help my mom. And just to fast forward 20 years after that, seeing my mom get well mentally, seeing my mom deal with her mental illness is a breakthrough that I understood at that Christmas period. And I'm saying that because this is going to be a difficult time for many of us this Christmas. So let's let God use the relationship that we have with Him to influence others and see productivity and health and happiness happen in our families. Can we say amen to that, church? Because I think that's going to help us. I know that time is gone. And we're going to finish here. But I want to say that it's so important that we summarize and we understand what God wants to teach us through John chapter 6. Pray about it. Think about it. And as we enter into this Christmas season, let's not borrow what we don't understand. Let's not borrow from people that are trying to sell us things without bottoming out what APR is and some of these other issues that we've got. All right, could we stand up to our feet, church?
Hey, as we finish this series, How to Beat Blue Monday, I just want to pray practically for you that God would help you understand that Christmas is so much more than a present that you can give away. It's about understanding that Jesus' love for you and for your family can be stronger than anything that you could buy in a store, that His love would fill you with peace and hope for your future and for the future of your family as well. And if you want to come visit one of our campuses over this Christmas season, we would love to have you here on any of our four campuses. We hope to see you there very soon. If you need prayer for anything, drop us an email and have an outstanding Christmas.